You are listening to the Sunday morning sermon series from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas. We're a family that is devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thank you for listening.
If you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis 12, because that's where we're going to be. But we see these pictures from time to time, and if you've got it, you can throw it up. We see these pictures from time to time, and whether on social media or in people's homes, we have seen these pictures, and probably most of us in here have been through this time in our life in which we as a family have had to take these pictures. And that time in our life is called family picture time. And all of you are giggling, yeah. We know this time, because in this time, we're trying to catch the very best picture of our family. And in that process, we are also trying to wrangle our family for this one very best picture. And so for the hour and a half or hour that you're taking family pictures, the first hour and 25 minutes are all about what? Death threats, bargaining, and exhaustion. But people don't see that. What do people normally see? They see the perfect family picture. Because this is the one that we can put on Facebook, and we can get all the likes. We put this on Facebook, and we know that people will probably like this, or we hope they will. But secondly, what else do we get? We get comments. People see these pictures, and they say, "Wow, you have such a perfect family." Or, "You know what? Y'all just look so happy together." But people only see this picture. People, we're trying to tell a story with this picture, but what they don't see is the pictures that we've stuffed in the drawer for no one to see. And you know those pictures, right? The pictures of the arguments, the pictures of the disagreements, the pictures of the death threats and the bribery. No, we put those in the drawer because what we're trying to tell with this picture is what we hear people say, right? "You'll have a perfect family. You look so happy together." But honestly, when we think about it, what does this picture tell? It tells a story of a moment, of a miraculous moment in which we got everyone to look at the camera at the same time with their eyes open and smile. And that's the moment we got. That's the exact moment in time that we got. We put it on our mantle and we show it off for everyone to see. And when everyone begins to see it, and when everyone begins to talk about it and click the like on Facebook, what they don't hear is the mumbling under the breath of the family that says, "If you only knew." Or the mumbling that says, "The struggle is real." And that's where we're at here in the book of Genesis in chapter 12 with the story of Abraham. If we're not careful, then what we see of Abraham over those first 9 chapters is this perfect picture of faith, right? God speaks to Abraham, offers some promises. And what does Abraham do? He gets up and goes. Abraham, who, as we talked about last week, was futureless, is now given a future. Abraham picks up everything and moves for the sake of the promises of God. And on the promises of a new future, Abraham does what most of us would struggle with, right? He picks up what is comfortable to him, the place that he is at. And he moves his entire family and goes. And if we just see that picture of Abraham, right? If we just get that snapshot, and that's all we have, it's a perfect picture. It really is. And we can look at it and say, wow, what a perfect family. What a perfect idea of faith. But the writer of Genesis does us a service, I think. Because the writer of Genesis shows us the full story of Abraham, right? And doesn't just show us this picture, but shows us other pictures as well. And so what we see in the story of Abraham is a model for us of faith, but not because it was a perfect faith. But I believe because it was a real faith. And it reminds us of one thing. That Abraham was human just like us. It's sometimes easy when we read stories, we read characters and stories in the Bible to elevate these people even above us. To put them in a spot above us and say, I can never do that. Look at this. But what the writer of Genesis does with the story of Abraham is say, verse 9 is not the end of the story. There's actually a verse 10. And last week when I said we can find ourselves in this story, I believe as we begin to read, we can find ourselves in this story. So read with me Genesis 12, 10 through 20. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to reside there as an alien, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know well that you are a woman, beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you and they will say, this is his wife, then they will kill me. But they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life will be spared on your account. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. When the officials of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female slaves, and female donkeys and camels. So let me get this straight. Abram, who has just showed us last week this amazing move in God's promises of faith. Just last week, we looked at that and said, yes, that's what we're supposed to be. The people who go, the people who take a step forward, the people who trust in God's promises. We saw that last week, and there's the picture. And then this week we read the story, and just after Abram starts to move and go forward, this is what he does. This is how he reacts to this. So what does he do? He begins to notice that there is an issue before him. There's a famine going on. He's in a foreign land. The realities of life, right? As he begins to look, these realities of life, of being in a dangerous place, of having no food, begin to intersect with the realities of the promises of God. And what does Abraham say? He looks at Sarah and goes, I have an idea. Now, whenever my wife hears me say, I have an idea, she normally just goes, oh boy. Can you imagine when Abram said to Sarah, I have an idea, and here's my idea. How about you be my sister? Now, if any of you men have the guts to say that to your wife, good for you. But that's what Abram does. Abram encounters the realities of life, the dangers of life, and notice what he says. We're about to enter this land, and you're very beautiful. So he butters her up very well. You are extremely beautiful. And then he says, hey, you need to be my sister, because if they find out I'm your husband, they're going to kill me. So Abram, at this moment in life, is all about self-preservation. He is all about protecting himself. And so in this moment, in which just a few verses earlier, he was willing to give up everything for the promises of God, we now have Abram willing to give up everything for his sake. I'm willing to protect myself so much that I can call my wife a sister and that Pharaoh may take her, but that's okay as long as I'm alive. And in this moment, we go from a man who is strong in faith. We go from a man who gives us a perfect picture of faith to a completely different picture, to the one that most of us would open up the drawer and put it in and close it and let no one see. Because this is generally not the picture of Abram we get. We don't think about Abram in this way. And when other people are looking at Sarah's pictures and they see this picture of 12, 1 through 9, and they look at it and they go, wow, you are such a perfect family. Your faith is so perfect. You can imagine Sarah under her breath say, if you only knew. You can imagine Sarah say, but the struggle is so real. For all the moments where our faith feels right, where we hear the call of God in our life, when we experience the promise of God in our life, we hear go and we go. The writer also reminds us that there are the moments in between. We see the moments of threats and bargaining and exhaustion. That the one perfect picture of faith is not the only picture, but that faith is a complete story of our life. That faith is just not one picture, but it is many pictures. And instead, what we see in this chapter is the reality of faith. The reality that the promise which gives us hope and strength, which motivates us and empowers us to step forward and make the first movement of going, is also one of the most difficult things in our life as well. Because for every moment in which we go, we know that we have those moments in which we fall. And the writer doesn't shield Abram from this. But the writer gives this to us as a gift. And for as much as I wish I could say that my faith is absolutely perfect, for as much as I wish I could say that my belief has always been great, and boy, I really do want to put those pictures on the mantle, I want you to see those pictures of me. When I talk, I hope you see those pictures of me. I also know that I have many moments of struggles, many moments of questions, many moments of doubts. And a lot of times my response and my decision are a lot like Abram of verse 10 through 20, because it is all about self-preservation. And there are a lot of times in which I believe that I think I can help out God in this process, right? I think I can speed up God's plans a little bit. And by the way, so did Abram, because not only do we have this in chapter 12, but just a few chapters later, we get into chapter 16. And in chapter 16, what do we see there? Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bore him no children. What was one of the promises of God? What was one of the big promises You're going to have a child. Why? Because all the generations are, there's going to be so many generations come through you. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, you see that the Lord has prevented me. Notice what she says there. You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go to my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife. Just a few chapters later, what does Sarah try to do? We're going to speed up God's plans here. Maybe God doesn't really understand what this promise is. I'm going to help God out just a bit. And this is us as well. In those moments in which we go, there are these moments in which we don't think God is going fast enough. And so we want to help God out. And so moving forward in faith also means that there will be moments of faithlessness. And hear me on this. There are moments of faithlessness. And that's what we see here in this story. Because what we're reminded of in verse 9, as we finished up last week, the writer tells us this in verse 9. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. And I want you to look at that. Abram journeyed on by stages. I love that kind of picture it gives us because it tells us something here. It tells us that this life that we're in, that there's faith that we're in, is part of a journey. And with any journey, it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be moments of struggle. Because the reality is that life is as real as it gets. And I think one of the good things here that we read in the story of Abraham is we see that when Abram makes that first movement forward of going, that it doesn't say, and Abram's faith made all of life daffodils and rainbows. It doesn't paint a picture that's not true. Instead, it paints a very real picture and says, life is still moving forward. And so the first step Abram took meant he was going to walk into a completely different life, but it was still life. And sometimes in that journey, everything is easy, right? Sometimes in our journey, it feels like we can do anything. Like we are really connected with God. We come back from Winterfest and we think, I got it. I've heard about God. I'm on top of the mountain. Me and God, you know, we're one. Everything flowing through me feels like, yeah, faith, faith, faith. But then life hits. And there are those other moments of life in which it becomes really hard to trust in the promises of God. It becomes difficult for us to really have faith. And we do question, and we do doubt. And this just isn't an Old Testament thing, because I want to bring in the New Testament. What do we see in John chapter 18? In John chapter 18, Jesus is getting ready to be, has been imprisoned, has been arrested, and has told Peter, there's going to be a moment, Peter, in which you have faithlessness. Peter, in his way, says, no, never, because I am as faithful as it comes. I am your man. Until this moment in John 18, Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside of the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And what did Peter say? I am not. Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them warming himself. And a few verses later in verse 25, as Peter is warming his hands around this stove, others look at him and say, what? I swear I saw you with that guy, Jesus. And what does Peter say? No, no, no. Wrong guy. Looks like me, but it's definitely not me. Even in Peter, the Peter who we think about, the Peter who wrote epistles in the New Testament, the Peter who went to Cornelius' house and baptized Cornelius, that Peter had a moment of faithlessness. And this becomes the real picture of faith. It's easy. It really is easy for me to stand up here last week and to preach a sermon on faith and tell you we should go. It really is. I don't make no mistake. It's easy to read that and say, yes, this is what we should all do. And we all can get motivated and say, yes, that is what we should do. But then Monday hits, and we're like, I'm not so sure that's as easy as it sounded on Sunday. And many times we find out that Abraham was like us as we go a little chapters later from 16, and we see in chapter 20, starting in verse 1, Abraham does the exact same thing with Sarah. As Abraham encounters King Abimelech, a foreign land with foreign people, what does Abraham say in chapter 20? Sarah, I have an idea. How about you be my sister one more time? Moving forward with God does not mean everything's going to be daffodils and rainbows. Moving forward with God does not mean that there won't be valleys. Because as we hear the call of go, and as we take a step forward in faith, it does not say that God says there will be no more valleys. Life will still be here. Moments will still happen in which we struggle. And the writer of the story of Abram and Abraham does us a service by giving us this text. And why does he do us a service by giving us this text? He does us a service by doing this because he doesn't just leave the story of faithfulness and give us that picture and say everything is going to be great and that's how it should be. But he also gives us the other pictures. And in the totality of everything, we have a story of faith. And the good news in this moment, as we think about us being faithless people at times, and we may wonder, where is the good news in this? The good news in this is that what we notice in the story of Abram is that God goes nowhere. In the midst of Abram's doubt, God is present. In the midst of Abram's faithlessness, God is present. In the midst of Abram's questions, God is present. In the midst of my doubts, God is present. In the midst of my questions, God is present. In the midst of my faithlessness, God is present. If God needed perfect people, we would all be in trouble. We are reminded here that Abram was not perfect, but God still called him. Even in his imperfectness, God still called him. In his imperfectness is where we see God fill in and do God's thing. And so when we struggle, when we have doubts, when we have questions, the hope that we have is that God is still present. God is still working out God's promises in us and through us, in the midst of our highest moments and in the midst of our lowest moments. And so the picture we get is we continue to take steps forward. And when we take a step forward and fall, The beauty of this is what we see is we're not doing it by ourselves. That there are others to pick us up. That God is there to pick us up. And God says, take another step. So the hope of Abram is this. While he was taking many steps from 1 to 9 in the verses, because he was just roaring forward, he hits verse 10 and he messes up, but he still takes step forward. He still moves forward. And in the process of the story, so does God with him. And there is our hope. To close, I want to close with this. We in John 21, as Peter has just denied Christ, we have this picture of God being present. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and you'd go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. After this, he said to him, follow me. You can imagine when Peter, as he's sitting around this fire and as he looks at Jesus, maybe he's not looking at Jesus. Maybe Peter's in the back of the group. Why? Because Peter knew what he did just a little while earlier. So why would Jesus ever want to talk to him? And yet immediately in this moment, we have Jesus who looks at Peter and asks him a question. And what does Jesus do each time? You're going to do something for me. You're going to feed my sheep. You're going to take care of my sheep. And you're going to feed my sheep. And in that moment, Jesus says, I was in the midst of that. And by the way, I can still work through your imperfectness. So faith is a story. Faith is a journey. Last week we looked at it and it looked great. This week we look at it, it's not so great. Next week we'll look at it and see, we keep moving forward. Because we have trust in the promises of God.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to our sermon podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcasts for special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, you can go to www.grapevinechurch.com.